The Money Show. Business Unusual.
This Business Unusual brought to you by FNB, introducing the innovative 48-hour cash accelerator investment account. It's more than just banking to FNB. That's why they help. Colin Cullis. I saw Jack Ma speak at Davos 2.5 years ago, and he had everybody eating out of the palm of his hand, Colin Cullis. He is a remarkable individual, somebody rejected by Harvard, I think 10 times he said then, a guy who many people would have regarded as an oddball, has taken the world by storm.
Business genius, but a teacher, I think, at essence. That's kind of what.
But that was his first job.
It was. He was a university lecturer. He taught English and some things. He did try and get into Harvard. I think 10 times was the number of times he got rejected. Now they can't wait to speak to him. But absolutely incredible. And I think something about the Alibaba Group makes me say with some certainty that if you're planning on starting a really big company that's going to use some tech and the internet, etc., use the letter A, because there's Apple, Amazon, Alphabet. Yes, Alibaba. So it definitely seems to give you a bit of a help start. In fact, let me start with some of those companies we do know to give you some context for how big or what Alibaba is. So it's about $393 billion its current market cap and growing quite well. Apple's kind of the big one. And he put a target, a vision for the Alibaba Group to grow to $1 trillion. That would really be quite big. So Apple is sitting at $784 billion, but kind of needs another iPhone if they're going to get right up there to the trillion mark, I think. Amazon is probably, for what you would see any given day, the closest thing to the Alibaba Group. It does cloud computing. It does entertainment stuff. It's got all of the sales elements, although Amazon has less of the sort of financial services, and I think he can be doing some very clever things there still to come. Although both of them have started working on these brick and mortar. So they used to be click and mortar, they call them. Brick and mortar is where they're going back, and his HEMA stores, I think he's just opening up three coming up over there. But then Facebook, for me, has a very strong similarity, because Jack Ma doesn't call his company a company. He calls it an economy. And really what he's looking to do is create this kind of marketplace where people who can sell from business to business or consumer to consumer, and then he has advertisers who want to reach those people. So very much like Facebook, it says, let people connect and let business connect with them. And they don't really make anything. They rather just create a space where they can do it. And given that, you know, Facebook's sitting at 2 billion users and there are 7 billion of us, Jack Ma's company last year, 500 million active users, that could be a very good way that that he could grow.
Now, again, we've got to explain the difference between, say, an Amazon.com and an Alibaba, because a lot of people say, well, it's an internet business that sells stuff, and it's a big place that sells lots of different things. I think they've sold cars and camels and sheep and cattle and all sorts of things, have Alibaba, whereas Amazon.com is an online shop. If it was a store, it would be the world's biggest Walmart, whereas Alibaba is a place where people go to connect rather than it being the holder of all of the stock. It's a very different sort of business model.
Yeah, so Jeff Bezos is a very clever tech guy. He understands the environment in which new technology evolves. And Jack Ma wasn't. Jack Ma saw the internet for the first time when visiting the US in about 1995, and he happened to search for China, and it wasn't there. And he figured, well, the person who puts China on the internet may make quite a bit of money. He didn't know how to code. He didn't even have a computer at the time, I don't think. So he kind of understood the connection part, the marketplace part. And that's kind of where the difference is between, I think, the Alibaba and their vision and Amazon. Amazon understood how to make the most about the internet and the web. He's definitely capitalized on that, but that wasn't sort of his philosophy or his goal. And the story for how that came about, when he goes back to China and he wants to found this company to just make sure that when, in this case, Americans go and search for Chinese companies, they'll find them. And he pitches it to these 24 investors, and 23 of them say no. So he does what he can, and he gets this little thing, and he basically makes like a white pages for Chinese businesses. And that goes along okay, and he starts attracting the attention of the Chinese government themselves to say, well, help us out with this stuff. And he arranges this little sort of stunt to have some journalists and people come and see what the internet looks like. And possibly he's the first guy to have connected to the internet in China. So he has people around at his house, and he connects up the modems, and you know, those old scratchy things. And it took 3 hours for them to download a page, which is hardly going to impress people to say, let's start something amazing. But he trucked on, and people could see that there was maybe something to this. And then the big one happened sort of 1999, 17 friends in his apartment. This is that famous story. Get together and found Alibaba. And no overnight success. Nobody used it. So they had to go and pretend they were all sellers themselves. And then nobody bought anything. So they started buying each other's stuff until one or two people started using the service, and they bought anybody who used the site's products. They just made sure that the system would be seen to be working. And it kind of paid off. He really did believe to say, create the demand, and then the people will come. Kind of not too different from General Electric's kind of views, and Thomas Edison and these sort of guys who understood how to go about creating it. And as it kind of grew, the next one, the big one, was 2003 Taobao, which is kind of like searching for treasure. That was kind of consumer to consumer, and probably a genius stroke, free. If you want to sell something, no charge. If you want to buy something, no charge. The charges came if you wanted to make your products appear slightly higher or slightly better for people having a look. And again, China really understood this is a mobile market. It's a very clever positioning. When Facebook and everybody else were trying to work out how to become mobile, well, Facebook didn't even exist then. He was already understanding it needed to be mobile. And that's where the growth started happening. He then said, okay, well, now I need to manage some of the payment systems here. Alipay gets founded in 2004 and part of Ant Financials. Now it's the largest fintech company in the world. Another clever thing about it, and he kind of understands the economy of what he's selling with the internet. It's trust, not products. And so one of the things when you buy something on Taobao is you can have the money kept sort of in escrow while you wait for the product to be delivered. And once it's delivered and you're happy that it's real and what you were expected to pay for and a good value, then the money can be released. And he's managing that system, I think, is genius for creating that trust in. Otherwise, some people might have said a market where people aren't going to be that likely to want to play ball, as it were.
Trust is so pivotal in the internet. I mean, it's still something that, you know, when we go into physical retail and somebody takes our credit card, they swipe the credit card, they trust that the payment is going to come through because the Visa and MasterCard and American Express and Diners have built up brand equity over decades. And suddenly you're on the internet and you're a new player in a new market. You've got to earn that trust really fast. Otherwise, you go out of business.
And the other element to the trust is the actual being able to deliver. And I mentioned they're doing cloud computing. Now it's got 100% growth year on year. It's still very small as part of their overall business. But they understood that to scale, you really need to be able to handle scale. And last year, China's got, I don't know if it's Alibaba's own thing, but it's called Singles Day, the 11th of November. And it's all the ones. That's the deal. Then it says if you're single, well, go out and buy something for yourself. So, spoil yourself. So we've got sort of Black Friday and Cyber Mondays that are big in the US. And I think last year there was about 6 or 7 billion. Alibaba alone made $17 billion worth of trade on the day, which is remarkable because that amounted to, at some points during the day, 175,000 orders per second. You know, we try and buy a ticket to go to a concert on the day that it's launched and hard time, or there's a special on an airline and So to keep that kind of infrastructure working really is quite amazing. And I suppose that's also then why when he listed the US's largest IPO in history, $25 billion being paid, people were willing to do so because they really thought this guy knows what he's doing. Although his philosophy is very different. And his take, and we chatted a little last week about the inequalities in the economy and the focus of CEOs on their shareholders and their boards and making sure they're happy and not their, you know, their customers. Well, Jack Ma's got a completely different view. In fact, this is a take that he had a little earlier this year, a couple of months ago. So let me let him explain what his view on shareholders is.
When I raised my money for IPO, even for the when Alibaba IPO in the New York Stock Exchange, we raised $20 billion. I told the investors, we've been believing customer number one, employee number two, shareholder number three. And people say this is against our American investor philosophy. I remember one of the investors said, hey, Jack, you know, if I know you are shareholder number three, I would not have bought your stocks. I say, sir, please sell it. Because I believe there is so much money in the world. There are too much money in the world. But we only need the money who believe in our vision and mission. Because I believe if the customer are happy, employees are happy, the shareholders will be happy. But if the shareholders are happy, may not necessarily customer happy, and may not necessarily your employee will be happy.
And that's kind of
an incredible guy.
Yeah, and you know what? Yeah. He doesn't have competitors. He says the future is his competitor. He says anybody who wants to celebrate success now is like saying I'm ahead in 100 after 100 meters in a 10,000 meter race. And he does also raise the worry, despite having created lots of employment opportunities, and wants to see more of those. He has raised concerns about what automation and fourth industrial revolution does mean for people's actual jobs. I've got a whole lot more about the background and elements that he's done and the other platforms they're involved with. But the thing I can can leave you with this. This is one guy from Alibaba, the guy who outwitted those Nodgy thieves, who's really giving us a new meaning to the term open sesame.
Colin Cullis with Business Unusual. This is on capetalk.co.za and on 702.co.za.